So, a really interesting evening last night after work at RADA with the first public reading of a play by John Osborne that was discovered in the British Library. It was an unknown play written before 1956, so before Look Back in Anger. The text was assumed to have been lost. We discovered it in the library last year, put it in an exhibition called The Golden Generation, and yesterday marked both the first public reading and also the date of publication of the text of this play and another unknown play that we've edited and I've done a detailed introduction for, published by Oberon Books, called Before Anger. And it's really intriguing. You can spend as much time as you want looking at the historical context and the literary analysis of the works, but with theatre it's only when it's spoken that it becomes alive. And you could see after only a very short time with the text, the players were really inhabiting these characters that I'd been studying for the last few months, and really bringing out nuances and humour that I wasn't aware were there. So lots of enthusiasm afterwards. I think these are going to lead to a full production, which is great. Really exciting evening, even if I was a bit alarmed to arrive and with 10 minutes notice be told that I had to do an introduction. But I don't think that spoilt it. It was really, really well done, well cast, and excellently performed reading. And I guess I felt similar to the way that I felt having met John, that you can study the text as much as you want, and they're vital, indeed the only often fragment of a writer that can be preserved for perpetuity, for study, to ensure the memory of the writer is kept alive. But there's something very special that transcends the written document when the text come alive, either through reading and performance or through meeting the writers behind the works. And there's something very special that that can't really be captured in the written word, that occurs through the warmth of human interaction, I suppose. And it's something that we're very privileged at the library to have the opportunity to do, that we preserve these materials for future generations, but we also, through doing that, get to meet the writers in the present and experience that interaction that I was talking about, which is a real privilege. And that was something that I feel very strongly after our couple of days with John. We didn't get the haymaking done, but we did help out with the gardening and other bits and bobs around the house, around the farm, so I feel that it was a successful trip, and I'm sure there'll be another opportunity to go back for the haymaking. It's interesting talking to John Berger about John Osborne. They actually knew each other. They were both angry young men. John Berger's politics is perhaps slightly more defined than John Osborne's, and I wasn't sure if they would have known each other, but talking to John Berger about John Osborne, John Berger remembers Osborne with affection, okay. Certain wistful affection, I think. Which surprised me, and he remembers Osborne's energy. They were in the same literary set in the early 70s, and he remembers Osborne's energy, which when used for creative purposes was, he said, was extraordinary. You could feel the power and the rage there, but when it turned in itself, of course, it ended up with bitterness and a biting attitude, which was perhaps less positive. But it was interesting talking to John about the other John. So this is the last audio boo. It's been great to know to pilot this technology. It's something the Sound Archive are considering using, I think, as a way of capturing either ambient sounds or rural dialects. A very portable way of capturing that sound and then uploading it, although the uploading has been quite difficult at times. But I think it worked, and it's been great seeing comments in the papers and on the internet of people who have enjoyed following the progress of this journey. So in terms of thank yous, the big thank you is of course to John and Beverly for their personal kindness to Tina and I, and also to their incredible generosity towards the library and sounds a bit grandiose, but towards the country in donating the archive for future generations to enjoy. Also to Rob and Colin back at base camp, who've been helping me with the technology when it's all seemed too much, and to Fee for running around to get O2 vouchers when it seemed I was unable to top up from the Alps. There's a limit for top-ups, and so Fiona had to run around in Moseley finding some vouchers to email to me so I could top up and continue the audio bill updates, and to everyone else at the library, especially to Amajit as well, who, without whom this donation wouldn't have been possible. He was the person who put me in touch with John, first of all, and he was really encouraging about this whole project. So we just offer a quick swim before work, then we're going to be doing an interview with Radio 4, You and Yours programme of all things, talking about the archive, and we'll try and put some more photos up, perhaps on the library's Facebook site. I was looking over my hundreds of photos last night, and it'd be nice to put those up. But otherwise, now that the archive is safely in the quarantine area, we can begin making it available for researchers, and so that's the end of these audio boos.